good evening. This is Shervington Hennies, and yes, I am live in YouTube, and the first video episode for the Forgiveness Show. And it's coming at a time when I have to work on myself today to ensure that I'm going to practice what I'm trying to teach and share and explore with others about forgiving and forgiveness. I want to do justice to all parties involved. The people in Berbice, Guyana, who have lost two of their sons. They're African, Guyanese sons. I should have known better. I should have known that once I undertake to do a show on forgiveness, that I would have to embrace, that I have to practice what I'm going to be sharing and exploring. You notice I'm trying my best not to say teaching, because believe me, I've got my own issues regarding forgiveness and forgiving that I have to work through myself. So I'm not coming here as a teacher. I'm a student of the universe like anyone else, and I have to face and deal with forgiveness issues like anyone else. I'm getting the news over the weekend that two young men lost their lives in Guyana, were murdered. There are those who are calling it massacre. When I said at the beginning of the program that I want to do justice and ensure that I'm respectful for all parties involved, that is, as I said in previous podcasts about the Forgiveness Show, me doing the first part of the process of forgiveness, of acceptance. Now, for those in Berbice, Guyana, who have lost their loved ones, I am not here to tell you how that process is going to be. All I can say as a part of the acceptance, I don't want to say that I feel your pain, because I don't know what your pain is like. I can empathize and I can just imagine what it must feel like. And the first part of an incident like this, when there is the loss of loved ones, the best thing that we can say sometimes is nothing, but demonstrate a willingness to sit with that pain, in that pain, with those who are experiencing the pain firsthand of loss. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her book on death and dying, talks about what the dying have to teach doctors, nurses, clergy, and their own families. Now, she explored and shared five stages with regards to death and dying. And just like the stages she shared for those who are going to transition or who are going to embrace and face death and dying, those that are left behind have also to go through the process after the death have transpired or taken place, their own stages of embracing the death or the loss of a loved one. The first stage for the person who have experienced or transitioned, Elizabeth, in working in hospice for people who are dying, discovered and learned that people experience a denial and a sense of isolation on the realization that the imminent death, the transition, that moving into a nothingness is coming, is real, and the sense of isolation, that this is an experience that only they can experience at that moment, regardless of the love that might be in the room or with them from loved ones and those around and those that care for them. Which brings me to the point of what it must have been like for those two young men in Burbies, Guyana, at a time when it was clear that they were about to die. I talked about in the podcast about looking at the situation differently. How can I look at this differently? I'm going to do my best not to try to tell anyone right now that they have to, at this point in time, look at it differently. Acceptance is what everyone will have to, at some point, undertake and embrace. Denial that there have been a change, that the normal has changed, and that this is a new normal going forward for all those concerned. That is a fact. And that's what, at this point, for death and murder, massacre, whatever we want to call it, is the reality. Beyond that, this is not the right time to ask the people who have lost a big part of who they were as a family to look at this differently. You see, it's one thing to have ideals and to come out here and talk about acceptance and looking at the situation differently. It's another thing to get in the midst of a situation like this. This is not that someone trespass against another person and the person who trespass against the other person is still here. We're going to get an opportunity to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. No. The reality is someone, two young men, lost their lives. I want to step back before they lost their lives. And I want to touch a subject that this program is responsible for bringing about. The subject that pushed forward me getting this program started about forgiveness. Guyana experienced its election this year on the 2nd of March, I think it was. And then it took almost 5 to 6 months for there to be a declaration of a result. At the time, I spoke to an individual and I said, we have to do a show on forgiveness because what Guyana needs right now, more than any time before, is a willingness to embrace forgiveness. And now that I can talk about looking at situations differently. There were those across the world, the ABC countries, and those in the Caribbean, who thought they knew for sure what Guyana needed right now, based on the declaration of an election results. The subject matter that I wanted to deal with as the first episode for this program, Forgiveness Show, is to look at the breakdown of democracy in Guyana. What that election became about was more than just the will of the people. And for the person who talked about the truth hurts, well, right now in Guyana, the truth is hurting. And that's the truth that people were trying to avoid. That declaration, whether we like it or not, became a referendum about who, at this point in Guyana's history, is equipped and best able to bring the people together at this junction in Guyana's history so that all people's lives matter. The truth hurts. You don't know what you were talking about. And that's the truth that hurts. That's the truth that hurts. And I hope at this juncture, at this point where two lives have been lost, everybody who had something to say about the will of the people will have something to say about what should be the outcome of this situation. Well, let's go back now to my teachings on rational emotive behavioral therapy
As we try to come to grips with this reality, the two young men lost their lives, and the story that is coming out, that they went to steal coconuts. Now, the act, if that is just the fact and the truth, was not appropriate. And I'm not here to judge, and I don't want to judge because I wasn't there. But that was the activating event, if that was the case. Just like the teaching says, what was the A, the activating event? Then the B, those who committed the act of taking the lives of those two young men had a belief of some sort that led to their actions that caused those two lives to be taken. There were beliefs around that. They could have been held responsible for their actions if it is true that they were in some way violating another person's property. But what was the belief? Was that probably we are untouchable and we can get away with this act? Okay, so where am I going with all of this? There were almost 4 years where the crime and the situation of the taking of black lives in Guyana had a rest period, because it was clear at that point that all lives mattered, and no one can have the belief that they were untouchable. What was the thing about the elections and a referendum on who was fit at this point to ensure that every person in that country feel that their lives mattered? Was that no one was untouchable? That's the belief that is being promoted that led to those two young men's life taken. A belief of being untouchable. I'm not saying here that the authorities, the government, are in collusion with whoever did what they did. I'm not saying that. And I firmly believe that that is not the case. But we have to accept and start making efforts in a tangible way to demonstrate that we understand that the politicians have a responsibility to ensure that come election time, the race card, yes, let's call it what it is, that's the acceptance for which forgiveness in Guyana needs to come about from. That the race card is played. And depending on who wins, a mentality goes with that of us against them, and we are now in power. I try to stay out of this discussion. But for those of us like myself who try to stay quiet because we want to be seen as supportive and respectful, and it's not us and them, to say nothing is to be complacent. And I am guilty of that. I say I cannot say anything about what's happening in Guyana because I don't live in Guyana. But there is a problem. How are we going to fix it? Those two lives are never, ever coming back. And they're not the only two lives. They're not the first two lives. How could the taking of coconuts equate to the massacre of two young men in a country where there's supposed to be laws that governs how the slitting of their throats? How did they arrive at that? From taking of coconuts? If that is the case, then I was not there. Regardless of what it was, if they weren't in the place that they could, should have been, or are not authorized to be, what happened to the police being involved? If that is the case, how did we arrive at their lives being taken?
I will continue to help those, or to support those who are trying to come to grips with this, so that we can move on and not come to a negative, destructive response to this, as we insist that all lives matter.
Across the world, the globe, everyone is talking about Black Lives Matter. I talk about all lives matter. Here in North America, we see what is happening in the US. And there's still some people who are not getting it, that the reality for some people is that they do not feel and experience and think that their lives matter. And somehow, there are people in Guyana who think that they're in a little bubble somewhere, and the reality of the experience of people in Guyana feeling that their lives doesn't matter is real for them.
Wow. I should have known better that once I undertook this on the weekend to get this program started, the podcast, and now the first episode on video, that I would have my opportunity to demonstrate and share what I'm putting forward in terms of being able to look at a situation differently. This one is not easy. Those lives are never coming back. And the people who've lost their loved ones will have to process this. So at this point, I'm going to be mindful as to how I put forward the accepting and the acceptance of this event in their lives as they process it, embrace it, accept it, and move forward along the stages and phases of embracing this new reality that they're going to live with for the rest of their lives. My thoughts are with all the people who in some way is directly or indirectly impacted by this. Grieve, feel it, sit through it, get to the other side of it. All lives matter. All lives. I will be revisiting this incident and this event as it plays out, and try my best to be supportive, respectful for all parties involved. Namaste. This is Shervington Hannes, and this was a personal and different
episode of the Forgiveness Show as I try my best to practice what I'm sharing on the process of forgiveness. Remember, you can always get more information, contact me to changeclinic.org. The Forgiveness Show also will have its own website, but for now, the podcast on Spotify will be a source of being able to weekly have an episode on the Forgiveness Show. The live streaming will continue weekly through YouTube. It will be available through the changeclinic.org and smaho.com. Namaste.